Welcome to another Highly Questionable. I'm Izzy Gutierrez. My least favorite day to wear a suit, by the way, the day after Halloween. It feels kind of blah. So we brought in three people who didn't bother wearing suits at all. Dominique Foxworth, Clinton Yates, and Stu Gatz. Dominique, what do you like on the show today?
Oh, who's feeling more heat right now? Is it the baker or the kitchen?
Huh? Ooh.
Hey, huh? See what you did there. Hey.
Did Jimmy Garoppolo's performance last night raise your opinion of the 49ers?
Well, the 49ers held off the Cardinals 28-25 last night. That 49er running game wasn't doing much, 3.3 yards per carry. That defense wasn't playing like we'd gotten used to. But Jimmy Garoppolo played great. He was 28 of 37, 317 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interception. The best stat line he's had. And the opinion on him has been kind of middle of the road, right? Early in the season, in the preseason, talked about throwing all these interceptions in practice, didn't look great. Early in the season, just kind of being a game manager and letting the running game and the defense win. But Dominique, this is what you want from your quarterback. When your running game's not working, when your defense isn't giving you what you're used to, you find a way to win the game. He did it efficiently, if not spectacularly, right? It wasn't spectacular. It was efficient, and it's all you want from your quarterback.
Yeah, I thought it was great. They had decided, the Cardinals, that is, that they were going to stop the run and kind of dare Jimmy Garoppolo to beat him over the air. And he threw some great anticipatory passes, but that wasn't the quarterback I was most impressed with last night. The guy I really liked was Kyler Murray, and he's been doing really well so far this season, considering the fact that they only have a one playmaker who's almost 100 years old, and they have an offensive line that's not very good and a terrible defense. He's supposed to be an undersized quarterback that may or may not make it with a coach who has no experience other than losing at the college level. And what he's done so far makes me think that he's going to be a Pro Bowler very soon in this league and maybe someone we should be looking at for MVP consideration in the coming seasons.
Can somebody explain to me why we need Jimmy Garoppolo to be all things to all people at all times? They are dump trucking every team they face, and the last night, Thursday, was the first time a game has even been remotely close. Is it the name? Is it because he looks good? Is it because the money? Y'all are hating. The dude is the quarterback on a team that does not lose. It doesn't really even matter to me what his stat lines look like as long as Kyle Shanahan keeps finding the ability to get Kittle the ball and fake everybody else out. Garoppolo is fine. Overall record, 16-2, 14-2, whatever it may be. I have no issues with anything he does outside of how he talks to reporters on the sidelines.
I was going to say, Clinton, it's because he ends interviews with, "I love it, baby."
Who would you rather have on Sunday, Lamar Jackson or Tom Brady?
Well, I'm not going to be the idiot who says Lamar Jackson because it's Tom Brady, right? But Lamar Jackson's the guy I want to watch, the guy I want to do better, the guy I want to blow up that whole defensive scheme by Bill Belichick. Look, we all know what Bill does against young quarterbacks. 21 straight wins against first or second year quarterbacks. He's played all the top four quarterback picks from last year's draft, the ones drafted in the top 10. He's 6-0 against them. Now he gets Lamar Jackson. But Clinton, Lamar has this dynamic that those other quarterbacks don't have. And man, you just kind of want to see a young quarterback stick it to the Patriots and Bill Belichick once, don't you?
In other words, the Lamar Jackson show is the best show in America and has been so for 4 seasons going back to Louisville. I absolutely want Lamar Jackson because I'm still concerned about this, Dominique, is that any single given snap, Tom Brady might get hit and not get back up. And that's not a knock on him. That's just a simple function of age. And if I'm game planning for a team, I want somebody with those kind of weapons. Run doesn't work. Pass can work as well. We saw how he brutalized your Dolphins, Izzy. That was a disaster. And we've seen everything he can do against the rest of the league. I'll take Lamar Jackson every time in the year of our Lord 2019, no questions asked.
Yeah, I want Lamar Jackson. And the stats suggest that you should take Lamar Jackson. But Lamar Jackson is going up against that Patriots defense. And as much as Lamar Jackson is a dominant player, or excuse me, an outstanding player, I wouldn't go as far as say he's dominant. He does have some shortcomings. And I want to talk about the new age of football, how we're moving past guys needing to be pocket passers. But when you get behind, you need to be able to sit in the pocket and pick a team apart. And Lamar Jackson has not shown the ability to do that. I think they can get in front and they can win. I think Lamar can have a great game and he may be the key to breaking down this awesome Patriots defense. But if we have to pick one, I'm going to pick Tom Brady, who's going up against the Ravens defense that is not as strong, rather than Lamar Jackson going up against this defense that might be the best of all time, particularly if he doesn't have Hollywood Brown. The receiver Hollywood Brown is their deep threat. They're going to stack the box, of course, to slow down that Ravens rushing attack. And if he doesn't have somebody who can take the top off that defense, which we're not sure if Hollywood Brown is going to come back or not, if he doesn't have that, Lamar Jackson could be in some trouble this weekend.
I think I accidentally called Clinton an idiot.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Accidental.
Time now for a fun fact with me, Stu Gott. Tom Brady has 14 rushing attempts this year for 3 yards. That's been a fun fact with me, Stu Gott. Does Trent Williams' anger towards Washington make more sense now?
Well, the offensive tackle has been dealing with what he exposed now, 6 years of the growth on his head, and he's been frustrated with the doctors. They were telling him, hey, it's nothing, it's no big deal, until he finds out at some point 6 years later that it is a cancer, that it is possibly, could possibly spread to his brain, and they basically discovered it and got rid of it just weeks beforehand. That's plenty to be upset about, Dominique. And the relationship between those doctors and any athlete is one that you have to keep a watchful eye on. But with something like this, it's really disconcerting. Yes, it was a rare form of cancer. Yes, it could have been doctors just not knowing what it was. But Dominique, we see this all the time. We have to question the doctors that work for teams, don't we?
Yeah, I think the relationship between teams and players is a problem. But I think this goes far beyond that. This is life-threatening. This just isn't about a knee or a shoulder or some sort of injury that may be lingering for years in the future. This was about taking years, possibly decades off of his life because of a misdiagnosis. I would not want to work for somebody who almost cost me that either. So I understand him. I was on his side beforehand. I think that maybe the solution to this around the league is maybe we have third-party doctors. But for this particular situation, this relationship is harmed irreparably.
The tough part about this for me is not just whether or not they were willing to do this to a star player. It's about whether or not they're willing to do this to anybody at all. And going beyond that, how many other teams are willing to do this as well? Because the idea here is, well, we might have found out about it, but either way, we're not your personal doctor. That's the scariest part about all of this. If at the end of the day, there's a plausible deniability that the only thing an NFL team is responsible for are football-related matters, however, they can also cancel money for injuries that are not related to football, well, then we've got a fundamental problem in terms of how these two parties represent each other. I don't think that it's a matter of being angry at that football team if you're Trent Williams. I think it's, frankly, a matter of fear in terms of the amount of risk that they put on your life for the sake of what? The team has been garbage anyway forever as long as I've been an adult. The least you could do is keep the guys that have been Pro Bowl quality players, never mind healthy, alive. That would be a good start.
I understand you, Clinton, saying that they aren't your personal doctors, but as someone who used to play, they kind of become your personal doctor because it's so convenient to go in there and tell them I'm not feeling well or I have this growth. Check this out. They do become your personal doctors. And understanding for all players that are in the league that they don't have your best interest in mind. They are getting paid by the organization. There is inevitable conflict of interest where whether they want to or not, there's going to be some unconscious bias to doing what's best for the people who pay them and not necessarily what's best for the people who they see.
And that's exactly my point. We might not want them to be their personal doctors, but that's what happens. And you can't play both sides of the same coin if you expect anybody to take you seriously from a credibility standpoint.
Who should be feeling more pressure on Sunday? Baker Mayfield or Freddie Kitchens?
Well, this is an easy one, Stu, because only one of these has the pressure of losing his job. I understand Baker Mayfield could possibly get benched, I guess, right? But for who? That's never going to happen. Freddie Kitchens is the one who has to worry. Freddie Kitchens is the one that's leading a team that's on pace to break the record for penalties in a season. Freddie Kitchens is the one who's going back and forth a little bit with Odell Beckham kind of subtweeting, saying, hey, I don't need him talking about that stuff. He got the ball thrown 7 times to him last night. That was just fine. Freddie Kitchens is the one who looks like he is in jeopardy here, not necessarily Baker Mayfield, despite all the interceptions, Clinton.
And Freddie Kitchens is the one who threw a bunch of guys under the bus when he got the head coaching job, which ticked off a lot of other assistants, meaning if Freddie Kitchens loses his job, he might not get another job, which is hard to do in the NFL. You don't want to get run out on a rail in Cleveland and find yourself outside of the league forever because you made everybody mad when you went your way to the top. You see all those people on the way back down, you're probably going to see Baker Mayfield, who's still going to be under center.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that. I think he's obviously, Kitchens is under more pressure, but Baker is under a different kind of pressure. I think that we've started to see Baker as a different kind of quarterback. And a lot of us, including me, wanted him to succeed because I liked that he was honest and I liked that he would walk out on interviews and tell reporters that they're dumb questions when they're dumb questions. So I hope that he doesn't lose that. So there is some pressure on him throughout the course of this season because I think that gets stamped out of him. They have a terrible run, especially the end of this season. They have a lot of bad teams on their schedule. If they don't rip off a bunch of wins, Freddie Kitchens is going to get fired and Baker Mayfield is going to come back next year acting like Danny Dimes. And I don't want that. Yeah. Who wants that?
If they brought in Freddie Kitchens as a head coach because it helped Baker Mayfield and it helped his comfort level, doesn't seem to be working. So what's the decision here?
Time for, you know who's laughing right now? You, Jackson. That's been Who's Laughing Right Now with me, Stu Guy.
How many segments do you have, Stu?
Should Jets coach Adam Gase feel nervous or excited about facing the winless Dolphins?
What would he have to be excited about? The idea of possibly losing to a winless team and then accelerating the heat on his hot seat? Look, this is pretty much lose-lose for Adam Gase. He's kind of being exposed a little bit as a guy who's just not really having a whole lot of success as a head coach. Maybe he is better off as a coordinator here, but if he beats the Dolphins, of course, it's what he was supposed to do. If he loses to the Dolphins, then all eyes are on Adam Gase. He's already got issues. Le'Veon Bell speaking up about his lack of carries last week. It's not looking good for Adam Gase. This is not the time to lose to his former team, Dominique.
Yeah, there's really no winning here for him. But I think this is similar to the Freddie Kitchens thing. Though he has a different track record, his track record isn't very good, though it's longer than Freddie Kitchens. I mean, he was down in Miami where you guys are quite familiar, and he wasn't that good turning Tannehill into a NFL-level quarterback, and he hasn't shown us that he can prove Darnold. Everyone was really excited about the way Sam Darnold ended last season. He was playing well, so they went and got a guy who's supposed to be good at developing quarterbacks, and he came in, and now he's playing worse. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him, not in just this game, but in the rest of this season.
Of all the things that have gone wrong with the Jets season, the least of them is going to play the Dolphins. We saw what happened with Darnold and that spleen, shouts to Stu Gatz. We've seen what happened with the GM, apparently talking behind people's back and screwing everything up. You play the Dolphins, your season straightens out. I would not feel any pressure at all if I was him because this is not a problem from an opponent standpoint.
Time for some irony with me, Stu Gatz. The best part of Adam Gase's season has been his introductory press conference. This has been some irony with me, Stu Gatz.
Do you even know what irony means?
Nope. It's not coincidence.
Surprised I pronounced it correctly.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
It was against Hero right here. There's behind the back, another spin, another spin.
Wow.
It's a pretty nice field for eighth graders, though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, look at that. Is that the kicker? The kicker recovered it? All right. First of all, let me reiterate, eighth graders don't deserve to play on a field this nice. And yeah, everybody seems to be looking right up at the ball. They just don't know what to do.
Let's play the game that has very active glutes. Do you question?
You give us topics and events, we question them.
Do you question if this was a good look for Cam Reddish?
A few rookies in this game to pay attention to. Kendrick Nunn's been lighting it up early on. Tyler Hero. But let's focus on number 10 pick Cam Reddish and see what he did to impress. There he was against Hero right here. There's behind the back. Another spin. Another spin. And an F. Woo, he got lost in his own blender
Tyler, look at the wrong.
Yeah, that was not a good look. I appreciate it. It was fun, but it was not a good look. Wasn't the conversation coming into the draft was he might turn out to be the best NBA prospect out of those three? It was like a little bit of hipster NBA pick, right? I think the answer is no.
All the kids love playing the video games these days. That was a little bit of a button mash on 2K.
Yeah,
you kind of know all the moves, but you don't quite know how to complete it. That's what that reminded me of.
Dominique, the person who said that about Cam Reddish was me, and shame on you for taking me seriously.
Do you question if this is good awareness by the kicker or bad awareness by everybody else?
You want action? You want excitement? We take you to eighth grade football.
Woo!
It's a pretty nice field for eighth graders, though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, look at that. Is that the kicker?
Come on.
The kicker recovered it? All right. First of all, let me reiterate, eighth graders don't deserve to play on a field this nice. And yeah, everybody seems to be looking right up at the ball. They just don't know what to do.
That's a unique onside kick. I thought it was wonderful. You need to stop hating. That's a good kick. They say onside kicking is down. The success rate is down in NFL because they make you line up on the line. Maybe we need to add this. Kick it up. Everyone look up. Kick or go catch it.
Yeah, let me see this again. I need to break down from a fundamental standpoint this guy's goal.
Do you, though? I mean...
Okay, so we're attempted sky kick.
What's
it going as he thought?
That was not an attempted sky kick. He tried to kick that one so hard into the turf, and he whiffed. That's what happened.
I don't think so. I mean, he's the only person who knows where he's trying to kick it. Like, I think he did that intentionally, threw it up into the lights, put a little backspin on it. I mean,
hold on, run it back.
Kicker ever.
Run it back. Look at the player on the other 40. How does he manage to fall down here? How do you fall? Where are you going? Oh, he got him and knocked him over. Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Excellent downfield hit right there. Sticking through
the play. Where is he going? Where is he going?
Bang! Got him. Easily my favorite part of that play.
Oh, man.
Highly questionable is broadcast from the Clevelander Hotel on beautiful South Beach, Miami.
Time to play the game that hopes Dan's juice cleanse is going well. See or no?
You tell us what to watch on TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
I'm embarrassed.
Tonight on ESPN, Rockets and Nets.
I mean, well, of course, it's the top two scorers in the league, James Harden and Kyrie Irving. And the other day on ESPN.com, it was a great story by Jackie McMullen on the Brooklyn Nets. And who could hate on Jackie McMullen? Kyrie Irving can.
Who cares what ESPN says or anyone says? Like, I love myself. I love my family. I love my friends. I love playing basketball. I'm grateful to do it every day. That's going to come with being one of the top players. History has shown you can be the best teammate ever, and someone's still going to say something negative about what you're doing and how you approach your life, and that can't be the importance. You know, if you allow that to infiltrate or get you emotionally invested or respond emotionally, you're going to be right where they want you to be.
Just want to reiterate, that story was not a takedown of Kyrie Irving. It really wasn't. It was just portrayed as such, so that was his reaction. Dominique, are you intrigued?
See, I'm intrigued about seeing them go at it tonight. But to the point, I thought that what he said in those remarks seemed to be like a well-rounded, thoughtful guy. As much as we get criticism of Kyrie Irving, I don't know him personally. I just know from reading these stories, he seems like a tough guy to be around because of those emotional swings that he has. But the point that he made in that piece and in other comments was all of us are kind of like that sometimes. And I think that's true. So, like, I don't know him personally. I hope that he's okay. And I do want to see him keep putting the ball in the hole because he's one of the best that we have in the NBA.
He's always been thoughtful. How about you, Clinton? Are you intrigued?
See, I'm very intrigued. I'm intrigued because of the other team. When I was at Game 7 of the World Series watching the Washington Nationals win it, I saw a score come across my screen that said the Wizards had scored 150-odd points against the Rockets, who put up one more point. If you're scoring 160 points a game, I'm tuning in every single night of the week. See, very intrigued.
Part of that had to do with your Wizards' terrible defense. How about you, Stu? Are you intrigued?
See, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by the matchup, and Kyrie Irving just became my new favorite NBA player, commenting in an article he clearly did not read. Kyrie, you got this strong in you.
Sunday in London, Jaguars and Texans.
Oh, is this the early start? I'm up for this one. Quick question, though. I saw a lot of Gardner Minshew costumes yesterday, one on around the horn. Has he earned that yet? Hmm? I don't think so. This is him and Deshaun Watson with some big plays. Hopefully you'll see a lot more of this in London. They seem to put on a show when they go overseas.
Elusiveness.
I mean, can Nick Foles do that? Probably.
He lost his job.
Deshaun Watson here.
No one can do this.
Man.
Got him.
I was most surprised that an official didn't accidentally blow a whistle here, calling the play dead right there. With Deshaun Watson, you never blow that whistle. How about you, Dominique? You intrigued?
see. I'm very intrigued because Gardner Minshew is playing well, but no one is playing as well in the entire league as Deshaun Watson. His numbers are not the best, but what he's doing with the help that he has around him has been impressive. But I still think the Jaguars, they might pull this out because of the loss of J.J. Watt. That Texans defense doesn't have a lot of playmakers outside of J.J. Watt. And unless Deshaun Watson can play both ways, I think they're going to be in trouble on that side of the ball.
Clinton, intrigued?
See, I'm very intrigued. There is only one thing I care about London games. Dear NFL, open up the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time slot. That's when I want to watch football games. That's when I'll go to football games. Any game in that slot, I am available for. I don't care who it is.
17 weeks. You want 17 weeks of 10 a.m. starts?
There you go. How about you, Stu? You intrigued?
I'm with Clinton. I am intrigued. It's a great matchup. Deshaun Watson's become one of the five most exciting players to watch in the NFL. But Clinton, I would ask you this. Dolphins, Jets, 9:30 a.m. You watching that?
Stu Gatz, by the way, the creator of Super Bowl Saturday.
Yes. Thank you, Izzy. Finally. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching. Have a great weekend. Plug away. Clinton Yates, plug something. Go.
I got a column about being a black kid who loved baseball in D.C. and why the Nats winning the World Series matters so much. Read it at theundefeated.com. You might learn something about the Minnesota Twins.
The only black kid who loves baseball in D.C.
Israel, plug something if you want to plug something. Go!
I got nothing.
Okay.